Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com, here on a wonderful Thursday morning, Trevor. And it's wonderful. Why is it wonderful, Trevor? Because we've got maybe our first guest of the new year.
Pretty yes, exciting. We do. Yes, we do.
We're thrilled that Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Senior Bowl as of June of last year, who also spent 18 years in the NFL scouting and doing lots of great stuff, really has taken that great work and brought it over to an event that you and I, Trevor, love so much in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Love being at, love scouting, love the whole process leading up to it. And he has been kind enough to join us today to shed some light on the whole process, the scouting process, kind of what all goes into it, the selection of the players and the players he believes will stand out in positive ways throughout the Senior Bowl, which is just about 10 days away now, 11 days away or so now. So it's really coming up quick here. But Jim, thank you so much for taking the time. I know this is a super busy time of the year for you. We really appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. How you doing, John? How you doing, Trevor?
Oh, you're doing good, man.
Doing great. We're very excited about this because we have really, I felt like when I was drawing up the itinerary for this show, I was like, man, I could ask questions all day. There's just so many things I want to know, but we will try and keep it a condensed time, obviously, because we know this is super busy time of the year for you. But just kind of curious, so hired in June 2018. It hasn't even been obviously a full year yet, but you're about to go through your first Senior Bowl as executive director. What has that first year been like? What are some things you've enjoyed about the process and maybe some of the challenges you didn't expect about that job and having that job and being in that role that maybe you didn't expect going into it?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a long question. I'll try to keep it as simple as I can. I mean, the most rewarding thing so far for me is just really working through the football side of things and being able to put my own, put my own stamp on how we're running the football operation. You know, again, when you're working in the NFL, you always try to take from places you've been and you know, hopefully one day have a chance to do that yourself and kind of bring together things you've done at different places. I know if I had my chance, I'd bring some things from New England and my time in Seattle. Mm-hmm. I think there's been, you know, great things to both those programs, but to come here and be able to do this, you know, we put together a staff this year of all former NFL scouts. It was the first time we've ever had that.
Wow.
We had four guys out on the road where, you know, I got 69 years of experience. And so that was really cool, bringing a group together like that and really running it like a personnel department. And then, mm-hmm. Through the fall, you guys, like the social media part has been a little awkward for me, a little different because it's just, you know, not used to it, never being on social media before. But,
right.
You know, cranking out those prospect videos like we did through the fall was a lot of fun and really engaged the players. I really started doing it more to engage the fans, you know, and mm-hmm. the draft, Nick, like all the people that love your stuff and why you guys are so popular, really trying to appeal to that crowd. And what it turned into was really a great recruiting tool for us, because what we started noticing in late September was that the players were starting to take notice, and, you know, games would get over, and within an hour of the game being over, you know, the players would be retweeting stuff and following us and all that stuff. So that's the football side's been really rewarding, bringing the staff together and really growing this thing and taking it where we've taken it so far. And then I think, probably the most challenging thing was when I took the job in June, we were going through some things here locally with a stadium issue. So just getting thrust into some local politics and, you know, speaking at city council meetings and stuff like that. That was a little bit, that was a little bit of a frustrating process, but no, all good, man. We're excited. We got, like you said, 10 more days and it's on us. So let's do it. We're excited.
I will say this. You know, I've been in the Senior Bowl a couple of years now, obviously been following for a ton of years myself amateurly, but you have brought this event to life. And whether it has been, most of it is on social media, but you see the engagement with the people who enjoy it. Your engagement with the players, you guys have gotten people to talk about the Senior Bowl in like August and September and things like that. And I remember before, you know, January rolls around and it's like, all right, now it's Senior Bowl time. But boy, it just seems like that we have been talking about the Senior Bowl for so long. And so hats off to you guys for definitely getting the ball rolling on all of that. My question to you, and it's another question about yourself, and then we'll let you talk about these players a little bit more. But I know there's a ton of people on social media, especially who they have dreams of being an NFL scout, doing this for a living, being able to scout players for a living. You did it for so long. And my question is that just what about that life made you enjoy it to want to do it for so long, kind of how you maybe a little bit of how you gotten into it. And then just what kept you going, kept you in football, kept you doing that job until eventually here doing what you're doing here for the Senior Bowl.
I guess you go back to the love of it. You know, you really have to have a passion for it. So you'd find yourself sometimes as a scout sitting on a plane and watching tape on a plane. And obviously people look over their shoulder and see what you're, you know, like, hey, are you a coach? And you're like, no, I scout. And you get in conversation with them and they say, oh, you know, do you love it? And I was like, yeah, you really have to love it because it's not easy. Again, I think that, I don't know if glamorous is the right word, but I think that, you know, a lot of people, you know, see these NFL jobs and they're, you know, I don't know what the perception is, but it is a grind. It is a really hard profession. If you didn't love it, I think people would get burned out really fast. Mm-hmm. I think that the novelty would wear off after a certain period of time. And then you're left with a really hard lifestyle. And really I don't think any scouts want people to feel sorry for them. It's the life we chose. And anyone in football, there's very few jobs in football that are easy. But you know, you get down that path and I always wanted to do it growing up as a kid. My dad was a high school coach, so just grew up around the game. And then, mm-hmm. I wanted to do it from the time I was a little kid. Never really thought, you know, it's different when you think about it when you're 10 years old and then you're 18 and then you're, you know, 25, mm-hmm. but it's always just you. But then when you bring a wife and kids into the equation, like it turns into a different job. You know, it's one thing if you're just bopping around the country doing your thing and, you know, on the road 180 nights a year and it's just you. But, you know, when you've got a wife and children, that becomes really, really hard. So, you know, that's really why I did. That's why I jumped at this job, because we've been in Mobile for 11 years. It's my wife's hometown. And
oh, that's awesome.
My wife's hometown. My son is reaching high school age now. He's playing high school sports and, you know, it's just missing out on all the good stuff. And, you know, again, I would have stayed with the Seahawks had this job not opened up, because that's, to me, there's not a better place to work in the NFL. It was an unbelievable place. John Schneider and Pete Carroll and what Mr. Allen created out there it truly was an unbelievable place to work. But, you know, I just didn't want to be like 65 years old or 70 years old looking back on 2018, like, man, you had a chance to change, you know, the situation for your family, and you just kind of sat back and let someone else come take the job. So when I called John about it, I said, John, you know, I really feel like I got to go for this thing. And, you know, thank God we're good friends. And he, you know, he loves my family. And he said, Jim, you know, go for it. I said, if I'm not their guy, I can live with that. But, I at least got to give it a shot. So, thankfully it worked out.
Well, that's awesome. That's definitely a great story and great to hear that you'll be, you know, closer with your family now. That's really cool. I know for me, like, I'm leaving for Senior Bowl week and Shrine Week the week before, and I have a daughter at home and who's two and my wife, and just thinking about leaving them for that 1 week out of the year, 2 weeks out of the year is hard. So I can't imagine with all that travel how difficult that would have been. But how hard is this process now for you being in charge of the Senior Bowl, and you have all these players around the country, like your watch list is massive, and you have scouts out at all these places and people you talk to, NFL people. And like, I think about it for myself as a draft analyst, like, okay, I want to make sure I've watched closely and evaluated at least 300 guys, and then hopefully have like input on other guys and stuff. How hard is that process to getting to the final cut down number? And maybe like which position groups this year, especially, were the hardest to get down to that final number that'll be on the roster?
Yeah, the process, it was a long process. So really, when we got to the end of it, it wasn't really difficult. Mm-hmm. Now I can talk about what positions were more difficult, but you know, the process was a long process going through the fall. Like I said, I can't imagine going through this and trying to do this game without a staff of experienced scouts that know what the hell they're looking at. You know, I mean, there's so many players out there. There's so, you know, so much room to cover. But it started in September and really worked all the way through. We got the board set to a place where we really felt good about it in the middle of November. So, you know, it's just, for me, I've never been in a role where I've had to, you know, build something on my own. You know, as a scout, it's always, you know, the GM and the you know, the higher ups have done that. So that was for me, I've never had to do that, take other people's input without me seeing a player yet, and kind of put them on the board where it sounds like they should be on the board. You know, and then obviously when they get a draftable grade back, I'd cross checked everybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I had a feel for where it ended up, but just going through with our scouts and again, having scouts remotely, you know, we would have to do conference calls where, you know, we had to talk through the board rather than having everyone in a room together. So there were some challenges that way, but really, you know, once we got to the end, we felt good about it. And then what I did was the week of Thanksgiving, when I knew guys would be off the road and back with their families, went through the board with 17 teams, and it was either GMs or college directors or both sometimes, you know, people that had access to their entire board and all their grades. And, at that point we'd invited 60 already. So I went through the players that we invited, just got the okay on all those guys. And then we went through the next group of guys that I'd kind of earmarked that I wanted to invite. And then we worked through the cut line, you know, like just for example, let's say we got, you know, through the offensive line, I had 20 spots and say that I had 16 where we felt good about 16 guys. And then just worked that cut line with those last four spots. Say we had, you know, 9 names and, you know, 4 open spots. And then just with all the teams, okay, out of these 9 names, who would you like in those 4 spots, you know? And then just there's this cluster of small school players, you know, so there's, you know, this player at Villanova, this player at Ferris State, this player at, you know, Sioux Falls, which one of those guys do you like? You know, which one of those guys would you want to see? So, again, this thing's all for them. You know, this game is for the 32 teams, and I'm just trying to give them, you know, what they want. Again, you know, we had to do our own work because I can't make those calls to them and be like, okay, guys, which 20 linemen do you want? So, you know, we did. And that was really the most rewarding part of the whole process for me was how close we had it with the teams and how aligned we were with the teams that we reached out to. So, you know, those calls lasted about 60 to 90 minutes apiece. So we really went through this thing thoroughly. And again, we didn't do all 32 because just time wouldn't permit it. But mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, getting over half the league, we have a really good consensus of who they wanted to see. And again, that's the goal of this thing is to bring the players down here they want to see. So in terms of sorry about that long-winded answer, guys. But
you're good.
you know, but, you know, in terms of the positions that were the hardest to cut, linebacker was really hard.
Oh, okay.
I was fearful of the linebacker group because some years it's been pretty lean. And, man, I think it's a really good linebacker class, really good linebacker class. Now, at the top, maybe not like some elite talent.
Right.
But if you're a team right now, it rounds like 3 through 5, you're going to be able to get a really good player. We really tried to identify speed and athleticism at the position, because obviously if they're not going to come in and start right away, they're going to have to be good core teams players. Mm-hmm. So I think we're really athletic at linebacker this year's group. That was a point of emphasis for us, really. The defensive backfield was tough to cut. You know, I think that the one position that's always the hardest for any All-Star game is the running back spot.
Yeah.
You know, they because
so many good running backs.
A lot of the really good ones leave as juniors. So,
that's
you know, you're really left with, you know, that next tier of guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's always running backs. Right. From a depth perspective, you always feel good about the first few, and then there's usually a shelf there.
Yeah, no, just going back to your point about the teams, that's got to feel good for you guys to put in all that work, and then you kind of call up the teams and you go, yeah, you're on the right track. I think that's got to feel good for you guys and the work that you put in. But you started naming off a little bit of the groups there. That kind of intros us into, we'll get to a little bit of position specific here. It's kind of been a really deep wide receiver class, not only for the guys that are going to your event, but just in the draft in general, and that's kind of kept people from seeing, I don't know, sleepers, if you want to call them, but who are some guys that you have down in Mobile that you'd like to get on people's radars that might really surprise people in a different way, whether it be that they haven't heard of them yet, or maybe they have and they're just going to perform to an even better ability down in Mobile? Who are a couple guys that you really like?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of them's a junior, Jacoby Myers at North Carolina State is a really intriguing guy to me. He went to the Wolfpack as a quarterback, and they converted him. But the really cool thing about him is just how natural he is at the position. You know, they play him in the slot. He's a bigger, longer bodied guy. Again, I haven't seen Jacoby in person. I was supposed to go see them play West Virginia, and then the Hurricane knocked that game out. So when he gets down here, it will be my first exposure to all the NC State guys live. I think we have five of them coming to the game. But, you know, Jacoby looks to be 6'2". I think they list him at 6'2", but he looks long, has a really nice feel for setting up routes and getting open inside. And the thing that's really hard to coach is just being able to make that contested catch. To me, that's a skill set that's really hard to train up. I mean, just to make plays with people around you. And, you know, he made a bunch of nice, incredible one-handed catches this year, too, if you go through his target reel. I mean, there's some incredible one-handed stuff. But just being able to go up and make plays when he's getting banged and convert and having this, you know, the hand strength to go to the ground and secure it. He's a really cool player to me. I was really excited to get Jacoby on board.
There we go.
As a junior. You know, another player I think is getting overlooked just because of the circumstance of their roster is Terry McLaurin at Ohio State, who we just added after the Rose Bowl game. You know, they've got, you know, we went after Pat. That was only a handful of guys that declined us this year. Pat's probably the fastest guy in this year's draft, I would guess. But so you know, Terry had some big games late in the year. He was, you know, I wasn't aware of this, but one of our scouting assistants says he's got one of the highest spark ratings ever when they do those the spark stuff when the kids are coming out of high school. So we know, you know, just speaking to Mickey Marotti there at Ohio State, their great strength coach, he said that, you know, Terry's going to be a great tester. And the thing that sets him apart from this whole class that come into our game and probably 95% of the college wide receivers out there is he's a really good special teams player. And, you know, he's a gunner on punt team, and that's where you really see the speed show up. He's tough. He likes to do it. I had a chance to talk to Terry a bunch here on the phone, and just his mindset going in to be a pro, like, this guy gets it. There's so many receivers that, you know, if you don't break in the top three as a rookie, you're going to have to play on teams. I've been a part of clubs that have drafted receivers over the years that were good enough receivers to really, like, be a third or fourth receiver. And, you know, but, you know, they didn't get that job right away, so they had to play on teams, and they didn't embrace it. You know, Ricardo Lockett was one of them when he was coming out of college. You know, Ricardo ended up being a really good special teams player for the Seahawks. And, but it took him, he bounced around for, you know, two or three years from Chicago to San Francisco to Seattle back. And he was bouncing around because, you know, he's this big 6,200-pound, you know, 4.35 guy. But just from a mindset perspective, he never bought in, and until he did, and then he finally did, and it clicked, and he was a great one. Well, Terry's got that mindset now, so I think he's going to be a really good receiver too. But at minimum, if I'm an NFL team and I know that's how Terry McLaurin's wired, he's going to be a guy that I would be really excited about.
That was good. There we go.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. I love Jacoby Myers, so I was really excited to hear you talk about him because when I saw you guys added him, I was thrilled because you're right, his tape. So natural at the position. It definitely excites me. But this offensive tackle class has been talked up too. I think it's billed as kind of a really good group right now in like the media realm at least. But curious, you talk to teams and you know you select these guys obviously for the game. And in talking through some of these guys like Yannick Ajust and Dalton Reisner and Caleb McGarry and Nate Davis and some of these other guys maybe, do you think they'll be better as interior offensive linemen in the NFL? Will they get the chance to kind of do both in Mobile? What's the kind of the general vibe on the group as a whole? Was there a lot of flexibility there, and might they be better inside in the NFL?
Yeah, this was the one group going through the board with the teams. And again, I you know, just the feedback, I think they're really happy with the group of players they're going to get to look at. But really, the offensive line group was the one where guys would stop and be like, wow, that's a really good group. So they're fired up. And that was before we added, you know, Eric McCoy, the junior center from Texas A&M, and a couple of these other guys. So, yeah, it's a really good group. I like the inside group, too. But the guys you talked about, you know, McGarry is a guy that I think is going to be a guy you can plug in right away and start at right tackle. I think that's what he is. You know, Reisner, I think you could play anywhere. I think he could start at center. I think he could start at guard. I think he could start at right tackle. I think during the week, some teams want to see Kajust at guard. That's going to be an interesting one to see him play inside. Nate Davis is another one who, you know, big, strong man, can really bend. So I think that he'll probably end up at guard, but he played a lot of right tackle at UNC Charlotte. So it's the nice thing about this group, guys, is there's an old scout who's our college director in New England by the name of Larry Cook. Anyone that's ever been on the road scouting with Larry or worked with Larry, just a revered man, and he's great at what he does. And this was probably 15 years ago. He did a study, of what was really playing in the NFL on the offensive line, and he spent a lot of time on this project. And he always had projects for himself. He was awesome, and he really identified it was big school players that were 3-year starters or more, and so it showed like there was a certain, I think it was like 38 starts or more, big schools. He looked at the Wunderlich scores, like he broke it all down, and that's really what the group we're bringing down here. You've got Lidstrom from Boston College, you've got the two Wisconsin guards, the two Oklahoma guards, Elkton Jenkins from Mississippi State, Garrett Bradbury, NC State. I mean, these are major program guys that, again, the starts thing is important because it shows durability.
Sure, right.
These guys have played a ton of ball, and they've been able to stay on the field, and they're just the type of blue. This is a blue-collar group, and that's the kind of guys that teams want to work with, and those are that's the kind of guy that plays at the next level. So really excited about that group.
One guy I wanted to make sure I asked you about was Christian Miller, because this is a guy who really came on not only late in the year, but late in his career too. Plays 14 games for the first time in 2018, ended up, I think, with 8 sacks, 11 tackles for loss. And I just remember even watching him live, he was popping out at the end of the year. What's some of the stuff that you guys saw from him with not a lot of production early on in his career when he was playing in a rotation? Obviously at Alabama, they got a lot of talent there, so it's always tough to crack. But what are some of the things that you saw from Christian Miller that made sure that you wanted to get him that invite and that makes you excited about him being there?
Yeah, have a lot of background with Christian, scouting the Southeast and spending a lot of time up in Tuscaloosa. They've got, like you talked about, they have so many good prospects on a yearly basis that, and I've been down here in Mobile, so Tuscaloosa is only about a 3.5-hour drive. And you have to spend so much time up there to really get those players right, because, you're looking at 18 guys usually in a year. And so, again, just being up there and around the program, knowing a lot of those people, and being around Christian, I kind of knew what he was. And, the biggest thing for me this year was he looked like such a different athlete. He just looked smoother. He looked more flexible. Him just been in the corner this year as a pass rusher, and then, making some calls back up there this fall and presenting it that way to the people in the building, that to me Christian looks different. And what I got to was, he wasn't really healthy the last couple of years. He was beat up, it sounds like, a little bit. And man, you're right. He put it together this year. He looked different. And was having a great year, and he just didn't play in the national championship game the other night. I think he's got he had the hamstring against Oklahoma. So we're really hopeful he can get back and be healthy enough to participate in our week, because again, he's that prototype 3-4 outside linebacker body. He's got 35-inch arms. He's got pass rush to him. He's athletic enough to drop if you need him to do that. So really an ascending player. I hope the injury will be okay, but I know he's a guy going over the board. Some of the linebacker stuff, there were some teams like that, you could hear it in their voice, like they didn't want me to invite him because they were hoping he was flying under some radars. And, but again, shoot, he's an Alabama guy. We're not going to sleep on a guy from the Tide. But yeah, so I think there were some teams kind of hoping that they were the ones that were on him and other teams weren't. But if he comes down here and goes through the week, then that won't happen. Yeah. That definitely won't happen.
Hey guys, NFL playoffs are here, and it is time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your relatives or friends sit around watching the games. Not this year, when the 53rd Super Bowl is around the corner. It really is the most wonderful time of the year. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props. Where you bet at is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during bowl season, you got to go to MyBookie. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for bowl season. Use the promo code LOCKEDON when you deposit to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON at MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Jim, I want to ask you about Charles Omenihu because he's one of my favorite players that's going to be down there at the Senior Bowl. I absolutely loved him on tape. I thought he rushed off the edge. That first step is sudden. I just was a huge fan of kind of what he offered. Build is kind of a tweener, but he has this unbelievable frame at the same time, even though he's like between 270, 275. Will he practice at both spots? Do you guys see him as working more at one spot or as a position that maybe will be his best position in the NFL?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's why a lot of teams want to see him down here to really figure out, you know, they know he can do a lot, but what is he going to do best? So right now on our board, we got him crossed up between a 3 and a 5 technique. I think he's going to play inside and on the edge some. And again, like you brought up the word tweener, again, that can carry a negative connotation a lot of times, because sometimes when you use it, you know, it's basically saying a guy can't really do anything, you know, like what is he?
Right.
But in Charles's case, like you can do this qualifier, right? Well, it's just a tweener. But with Charles, I think it's a positive thing that he can do. It's kind of like Isaiah Bucks too. To me, Bucks is a tweener, but in a positive way.
Right.
I think you can play an up and down the line. I think if you hit on Charles, you get like a Michael Bennett type player that can impact the quarterback from different alignments. Like you said, he's long. He's got some twitch. And the pass rush upside is really exciting about him. So he is a guy that I know the league, just going over stuff, they're excited to see what he'll do down here.
I know John is a huge Nasir Adderley fan. I'm starting to become a big Adderley fan myself the more tape that I get on him, but obviously a smaller school guy coming into Mobile. A lot of people aren't going to know him up until the week, but we got a feeling that he's going to really make a name for himself. Where do you see Adderley playing? I know he's, you know, you talked a little bit about there about D linemen playing tweeners. Adderley's a guy who's got versatility as corner and safety. And where do you think they're going to run him during the week? And what do you like about this guy that's really going to pop out, I think, during Mobile week?
Yeah, you know, he is a guy that we're going to want to cross train down here, you know, as an outside corner and as a free safety. Again, a really cool skill set. The concern at safety long term would just be the size of the frame. Again, I haven't seen this either. One of our scouting assistants went up and did a trip up and down the East Coast and went to practice and saw him. We didn't see him in a game, but you know, not the biggest guy in the world. You know, I think he's, you know, 195. So, you know, from the safety position and run support, now he's got some substance to him. He doesn't play light. You know, the guy doesn't get knocked around, and he's got contact power. But that is, some teams will see that, you know, something under 200 pounds, and that bulk deficiency might concern him. But you know, when he's at safety, he's got really good range. He sees it. He can go get the ball. Unbelievable ball skills. So in the deep part of the field, he can track it and play it. And then at corner, I think he's going to run really fast. You know, to me, he's an easy 4-4 guy. So to line him up outside, if you're a press man team, you know he's going to be able to run vertical. And then just like I just said, you know, the ability to find the football and go get it outside, I think he'll be able to do. So it'll be interesting to see. I think he's going to be those guys. He's going to be a guy that ends up in different columns on people's boards, depending on the team. But, you know, I think he could do both. I really think he could play both positions.
Yeah, great stuff. I love Adderley. To close us out here, Jim, I'm just wondering if you could run through the quarterbacks in this group, the 8 guys that you've selected to play in this game, and kind of what you like about each of them. What was the main thing that kind of inspired you to say, this is a guy I want in Mobile at the Senior Bowl playing? Because I know you got the 8 guys that you wanted there, and kind of just wondering what was the top thing that stood out about those guys.
Yeah, I guess we'll start with Will Grier. You know, Will's a guy that I just had background with going into Florida over the years, and it looked like he was really going to be the, you know, by far the best one they'd had since Tebow, you know, and really bring something to that position that they'd lacked in Gainesville.
You heard me right now, Jim, because I'm a Gator, and it broke my heart when we had to get rid of the best quarterback we've had.
Yeah, I bet. So no, I've had some background seeing Will in practice over the years and stuff, so I know his talent. But if you're just looking at one thing that sticks out, is he's got some clutch to him. And again, we're talking about things that are hard to coach. I mean, he's just one of those guys that in a big moment, you know, the Texas game this year, making big throws and, you know, just kind of having the big cojones. He's not afraid to test tight coverage, which at the college level, I mean, there's so many big open windows that, you know, sometimes you don't, it's hard to project because these guys are thrown in these big open spaces where, and then you get them to the NFL and those things tighten up and they don't want to try to fit it. So there's always that fine line between a guy trusting his arm too much and making dumb plays into coverage, and then, you know, and then the guy having enough courage to at least try it. So, but yeah, Will to me is a really clutch guy. Going to Jarrett Stidham at Auburn, just the word I'd use is natural. Like if I don't know if either of you guys have seen this guy play yet, but in person, but wait till you see this guy throw the football in person. My first, like anything in scouting, you know, you're kind of slanted by your first exposure to him.
Sure.
And my first time I saw Jarrett was we left the pro day at Alabama a couple of years ago, and Coach Malzahn was nice enough to let us into his practice the day before Auburn's pro day. And Jarrett had just gotten there, you know, transferred from Baylor, and he was so lights out in this practice we were at, like to all levels. He throws the prettiest ball. He's got mechanically, he's the best one, and he's the best one in this class. I've told people he looks like he came out of the womb throwing the football, and he really does. He's just such a natural thrower. He throws with such good touch. So he's just, you know, he's just really just, you know, and the deep ball is beautiful. So I think that in the bowl game, people kind of saw what Jarrett could have been all season. Again, we, you know, living down here in Alabama, there's a lot of Auburn fans down here that were down on Jarrett this year in the program. But when you evaluate quarterbacks, you got to do with every position, but at quarterback, you really got to look at the compounding factors and what's going on around a guy. And, you know, I think there was a lot of things that went into play with that Auburn offense this year. So, you know, in the bowl game, Coach Malzahn, you know, took a lot more deep shots and used that speed they had on the perimeter. And I mean, shoot, they scored 56 points in the first half.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Jarrett's got a lot of arm talent. So, Clayton Thorson, I would say the toughness. Clayton's a really tough guy, you know, coming from Northwestern, not playing with a lot around him in terms of next level talent, really raised that group. Like any quarterback, you want to see him raise the level of their team. And, you know, talking to Pat Fitzgerald, called me after we, you know, invited Clayton. I'm not saying that to name drop. I'm saying it because it tells you what kind of guy Pat Fitzgerald is. Yeah. Really. I mean, he reached out to me and thanked me for inviting Clayton. It was pretty cool. I just want your listeners to know that. Like, that guy, Pat Fitzgerald's a stud. He's a total stud. And but what Clayton did with their football team and just raising the level of people around him is awesome. You know, there's a veteran scout friend of mine that got into the business about when I did, and he said he hasn't seen a guy do more with less around him since Eli Manning.
Wow.
So that's pretty good. That was pretty good high praise for me. Yeah. Let me see. I didn't do Eli coming out. I did Roethlisberger that draft. I was up in the Midwest, but Gardner Minshew. I would just say the instincts, just the feel for the quarterback position, knowing how to play it. You know, the big knock on those, you know, the Mike Leach guys, the you know, Texas Tech and in that offense is the half field reads and, you know, the simple system and, you know, not having to go through progressions. Well, if you watch Gardner's tape, I mean, this guy can go front side to backside, use checkdowns, and holy, he's like really advanced for playing the position. So, you know, and then that along with kind of the moxie and the attitude, and he's just got a really cool, something really cool about him. He's another guy. I haven't seen him play live yet. Can't wait to see him come down here and just be around Mobile. I mean, I think if we let him loose on the town at night, he would a lot of people would love to hang out with Gardner Minshew. From what I've heard about him, he's just like a really cool guy that people would gravitate to. And then, you know, flipping to the other side of the North team. So that was just the South quarterbacks we announced yesterday. Daniel Jones, the quarterback from Duke, who was really excited to get. He, you know, we've kind of been waiting on Daniel all year. I'll share this story. I was at the Manning camp last summer and, got talking to Daniel and asked him where he was at graduation wise. And he said he was going to be about 3 credits short. I said, well, Daniel, I'm not trying to like persuade you to come out early, but I'm just telling you, like, if you went back and took one more class, if you did decide to come out, well, then you'd at least have the option of playing in the Senior Bowl. I said, you know, I'd just assume you stay for your senior year, so I get you the next year. Like, that's the, right. You know, we definitely don't want juniors coming out at the Senior Bowl, but to his credit, he went back and he did. He added a class, which was awesome. And so I got a phone call the other day on Saturday. My phone rang, and it was in the second quarter of my daughter's basketball game. And I'm the assistant coach, and I looked over at the head coach. I'm like, I got to take this. I ran off the bench, and it was Dan Owen telling me that he's going to come play in the game. So we're fired up. I think from a strictly a tools perspective of the guys we're bringing to the game, and you know, size, athleticism, arm. I think Daniel's got as much upside as anybody. I mean, he's got all the tools, got really high-end tools to be a starter in the league. Everyone's fired up about him. I mean, I've heard a lot of first-round stuff on Daniel. And from the tape I've seen, I wouldn't argue with that at all. So excited to get Daniel down here. Jump into Drew Locke, another guy, really just huge arm. You know, just really, really a huge arm, can make any throw. I mean, it pops off the tape. Some guys you really need to see play live, to at least I do. I feel like I got to see him live to gauge their arm strength. But with Drew, it's pretty obvious on tape, some of the throws he makes, that he's got a hose. And, you know, it was great at that Manning camp last summer to watch him interact with some of the other guys. Jake Fromm was there, and Jake was talking about a touchdown that Drew threw 2 years ago, so the 17 season, and like how long the ball was in the air and how he threw it. And Drew was funny. He was like, man, I've never thrown a ball like that in my life. He goes, I probably never will again. Like Fromm was like, man, I could never throw it like that. But he does. He's got one of those arms that I think he's got a special arm. So I mean, when you're looking at, you know, I'm not comparing him to Patrick Mahomes. I'm not doing that, but I'm just saying like those kind of guys. I mean, sitting watching Mahomes tape in Seattle and draft meetings, if that was kind of my first exposure to him, was in our meetings. And in some of the throws Mahomes would make, you're like, holy cow, like you can't coach that. You're like, you always look for stuff you can't coach. And I think Drew can make a lot of those throws. Mm-hmm. So I would just say the arm on Drew. Ryan Finley from NC State is I love his ability to win from the pocket. You know, his accuracy is probably the biggest thing for me. You know, Ryan, he had some good receivers to work with this year, and he had some people around him now, but when you give him time, he can pick you apart. So again, accuracy, really hard thing to coach and develop. So he's got that, and excited to get Ryan down. You know, Ryan was the highest graded senior quarterback coming into the fall by the Combine Scouts last spring. So, people shouldn't be sleeping on Ryan either. Mm. And then, last but not least, Trace McSorley, who, you know, to me, I love how he plays the position. I love what he brings is a dude in the, you know, what he's going to, you know, again, they don't huddle in college football anymore, but what he's going to bring to a huddle and what he brings to the sideline. I think you saw that in the bowl game when he was, you know, getting the fans jacked up, and, you know, he's leading that comeback against Kentucky. I know they fell a little short, but, he's a fighter. He's a competitor. He's won a ton of games. There's something about that. You know, there's something to that. It's almost unquantifiable, but when guys have that about him and guys want to play for him, again, you know, not comparing him to Baker Mayfield in terms of his skill set, but, you know, Baker had that. I remember seeing Baker in the Rose Bowl game against Georgia, and him on the sidelines, and just watching how his teammates responded to him. You can tell when it's real and when it's not. And you see teammates respond to McSorley. Like, you know, even if Trace starts out his career as a backup, I mean, he's the kind of guy you put in the game you feel great about, because those vets, they're going to play for that guy.
Right.
And so from 1 to 8, again, they had 2 top 10 picks in this game last year, Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield. So that was an incredible year. But from top to bottom, 1 to 8, I think this is my 23rd Senior Bowl. I mean, I haven't gone back over all those rosters, but I mean, from 1 to 8, that's a pretty darn good group.
Yeah, absolutely. Incredible depth throughout the group. Really looking forward and excited to see all those guys in Mobile. Jim, thank you so much for your time. This was unbelievable, man.
Yeah,
it was awesome to hear all this stuff. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, John. Yeah, sure. I appreciate you guys having me on, and look forward to getting you down here to Mobile. Like, I know you guys love coming down here, and I'll tell any of the fans, like, if you love football, you love the draft process, you love the NFL, there's not a better week. There's such an intimate setting down here.
Yep.
You know, you can go to the Combine. The Combine's a great event too. Jeff Foster and those guys do an awesome job. But Indy's a big city. You can kind of get, lost. I mean, so you can be so spread out. I mean, everything's so centralized here. No matter where you go to eat or go to have a beer, like, you're going to be running into people, and it's just got a really cool vibe during the week. So glad you guys are coming down, and hopefully you'll be bringing your whole crew.
Absolutely,
yeah,
we will.
I'm excited because you know, I say all the time that Mobile, Alabama, not everybody's heard of it, but for 1 week the entire football world just descends upon this town and takes over. So I agree with you. That's what makes it a lot of fun. I kind of enjoy Senior Bowl week probably the most out of the whole draft process. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's absolutely
awesome, man.
It's an incredible week for sure. We're very excited about it. Looking forward to it. And looking forward to enjoying all the hard work that you guys put in throughout the year to make that event what it is. So really appreciate Jim taking the time. Tomorrow we'll be back. We've got more great stuff as always coming up on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.